Okay, you guys, welcome back to another solo episode of V the People. My cat James is looking so freaking cute right now. I wish I could. I feel like eventually I will get to a place perhaps where now he's staring at me and I'm so distracted. I think eventually we're going to have to get to a place where like I'm on camera, but I can't tell you how daunting that feels, because right now, like, my attire and my physical appearance is pretty unsettling, which actually brings me to a topic I really want to talk about, which is skinny culture. And I've talked about it before, and I'm so sorry, but like, one of my friends sent me a voice memo today, particularly directed towards the homophobes out there, talking about like the audacity that people have whilst saying something like Pride Month really shoves gayness and queer culture down our throats, and it's too much, and you're indoctrinating our children, and all of the above. When in reality, what's being shoved down our throats right now is skinny culture. And I'm going to say something controversial. And I want everyone to know that, like, this is coming from a very pure-hearted place. And actually, this was brought up by my friend today as well. However, I had already been thinking about it and was, like, on this page, literally. Ariana Grande's on tour. I love Ariana Grande. Support her. I've loved her from day one. I think she's one of like the best vocalists of our time. I love Wicked. I love that she got to play her dream role. I've defended her. Like, she can do no wrong in my eyes. I do not care what her body looks like. I really never have. It's truly not been something that I've really focused on when it comes to her. Like, for me personally, she's the parasocial relationship I have with her is much more about like her talents and her dreams. And I know it sounds really cheesy, but like that's just actually how I'm feeling. And she's on tour right now. And she's incredibly thin to a point that feels scary and unhealthy. And like the teenage girls going to see her concerts are thinking is normal and glorified. So it's an issue, right? Like, skinny culture is back in full swing. I think anyone right now could name at least 5 people that are on some type of weight loss drug, whether it be for their health or because they probably would like to be skinny and feel like they're fitting in. And so it's just sad. And my wife and I, ironically, we're both craving pasta tonight, and so we went to Carrabba's, which is just the place that you go when you need some pasta. Anyways, we feel like the pendulum's going to come back. It's going to come back around, and anyone who's not incredibly thin and is just somewhere on the spectrum of normal female body, just know that you're not alone. There's some of us out here still fighting the good fight. And as a woman who has always been attracted to other women, I have always loved real bodies, real figures, and whatever that means for you, right? Like, I have friends who have always been like naturally athletic or naturally lean, but I can still tell they're like gonna have a breakfast sandwich when the time is right, you know? So anyways, that was really like a crazy way to start off, but I was just thinking about my appearance and like if I was on film right now, what you would think. Also, it's funny that I say film because it's not actually film. Okay, wow, that really took a turn. I do have to say that I'm a little sleepy because I'm not like a huge basketball fan. I love sports. I love team sport culture. Catch me on the NFL season talking about the Eagles. Like, I can get into it. I can hang. I'm excited. I love learning about sports. I get it. I get the lore. I haven't really been like actively following the Knicks. I mean, I saw when they won the first two games, and then obviously like Donald had to go to the third game and ruin everything. I was kind of like following like how many do they have to win? What is it like? Because I don't know a lot about NBA finals. But last night, I of course saw that my best friend Taylor Swift was at the Knicks game with the Haim sisters, not all of them. And I was calling it an early night. I did like a face mask, went upstairs. Normally I stay, for those of you who don't know my nighttime routine, normally I stay downstairs until at least 10 p.m. But sometimes I can really push it to midnight if I'm into like a really great docuseries or something. I could be up as late as 1 in the morning. I'm a night owl, always have been, but I also think working from home has not been conducive to my circadian rhythm. I mean, it has been, but like in a way that I could probably sleep until like 10 or 11 a.m. I don't, because I have a job, but you don't need to know any of this. The point is that last night I was calling it an early night. So I went upstairs, I think it was like 9:30. I was like, you know what? I'm going to get an early night's sleep. It's going to be great. I realized that Taylor's at the Knicks game, and I'm like, I'm going to put that on because my wife was already asleep and I can just turn the volume down and kind of like keep tabs on the score while I'm laying scrolling on my phone. Come to realize that they're down by like 20 some points, and I'm about to watch in real time the greatest comeback in NBA Finals history. I also want to say that I had a weird witchy sense that they were going to come back. I will say I'm an optimist. I'm very positive. But even like during certain Eagles games when I'm really in the trenches of the season, I can feel in the air if there's possibility. If you're an Eagles fan or a football fan and you remember one of the first games of the season last year when we played the Rams and it came down to a field goal at the end and we blocked the kick and ran it back for a touchdown, which wasn't even necessary to run it back, but we did. I could like feel it in my bones that it was possible. Didn't know if it was going to happen, but like I let myself really believe. And then there are other games where it's like, could we come back? Sure. But I can just feel the energy and I know it's not even on anyone's radar. Last night from my bed with my face mask on, feeling like I'm in Madison Square Garden with Mariska Hargitay and Taylor Swift and Ben Stiller and Julianne Moore, who like no one even noticed was like a couple rows behind them. Feeling like I'm there with them. Even when we were still down, now I'm a Knicks fan, so I'm saying we. Even when we were still down by like 20 points, I just had this spidey sense that it was gonna happen, that we were gonna come back and win. And now I'm laying there with my face tight in this mask, not being able to emote, my wife sleeping next to me, volume down, with adrenaline and blood just like coursing through my veins at a very high speed. So needless to say, it took me forever to fall asleep. Couldn't stop thinking about it. I also knew that when I would wake up, there would be such amazing content about Taylor Swift coming to the game and like basically putting a hex on the Spurs. And so I was anticipating all of that, which like kudos to our content creators out there who like we go to sleep and we just wake up knowing that we're going to have a buffet of incredible content when something happens. So anyways, I did not sleep very well. I mean, I eventually did, but took a while. Which brings me to the reason why I wanted to go to bed early last night, which is what I've been watching, which is Love Island. So I do just want to preface in saying that if you're not an avid Love Island viewer, this summer is going to be rough when it comes to my solo episodes because I'm really into it. I got into Love Island back in like 2018 when my wife and I did a musical called Billy Elliot. If you don't know about it, you should look it up. But they speak in this like Geordie accent, which we knew there was a specific season of Love Island, or maybe it was all the seasons, that there were people with that type of accent. So we would just watch it and listen to it, kind of study it. And I realized pretty early on that Love Island is right up my alley. It's just daunting because there's so many seasons of it. So when a new fresh one comes out, and I know that like we're all kind of in on it together, you better believe I'm downloading the app. I'm voting. I'm participating. I'm into it. So it's very early on. I think we're only like a week in, I want to say. A little over a week in. And I don't know what everyone's early thoughts are, but my quick hot takes would be Melanie is either going to have a very like Huda coded story and like a lot of crash outs and slowly but surely make us all not enjoy her on our screens, or, which is the one I'm hoping for, she will have like a redemption arc. And I don't know if you guys can hear the weird noises my cat makes, probably not, but I'm gonna put the microphone up to his mouth. I don't know if you could hear that, but my cat makes really weird noises. What was I saying? Oh, Melanie's either going to have basically like, unfortunately, a stereotypical crazy girl storyline, or we're going to watch her grow and evolve and have like the best season ever and we're all going to love her. Current favorites are Anaya and Trinity for the girls, and for the guys, it would probably be Sincere and... who's Anaya's guy? KC. I like him a lot. For all my Lehigh Valley friends, which I'm assuming most of you are, Sean obviously is from Bethlehem. I'd love to get him on the pod if anyone has a connect, but would love to hear about his journey and just what it was like. And also, like, are you going to go back to the Bethlehem police? Or are you embarrassed? Or... what are our thoughts on the mayor calling him out? Because, like, it's Love Island. I could be, like, a surgeon, a heart surgeon, and I would sell out for something like Love Island. Or would I? Maybe if I was a heart surgeon, I wouldn't. Something to think about, something to ponder. So anyways, that's kind of gonna be a lot of my content this summer, is watching Love Island. Everything's kind of laying the foundation right now. There's not a whole lot of craziness to talk about. The only other sort of wrap-up recap I'd like to touch on is the Summer House Part 3 reunion. Although we did find out that there is going to be a bonus episode of like one-on-one sit-downs, which is cool. My personal feeling is that Amanda and West were definitely on something to make them numb and not emote, which I feel is unfair, which I feel is not okay. Also, I am all for protecting your mental health, but not watching the season back because it's too hard for you while people like Sierra are having to watch it back is diabolical. Diabolical is probably the best word I could come up with. So yeah, I'm kind of like in a moment of recapping and finishing off certain Bravo seasons like Southern Hospitality, Summer House. I think the Valley's starting to come to a close. Those are kind of ones that I'm watching, but I'm not as invested in, I would say. And then my sole focus this summer is going to be Love Island because it's just a huge commitment. Like, I'm already nervous about going on a work trip and figuring out what I'm going to be watching it and how, which really says something about me. Also, speaking of Love Island, I'd like to play a quick piece of a voice memo I received today from my friend Katie, because I feel like people are going to relate. So enjoy this.
Have you watched any Love Island this season? Because the only impression I am getting is that these people don't know how to kiss. Did COVID, like, interrupt Gen Z's ability to share a smooch? Like, why are we leading with tongue? Why is your tongue out as you're leaning in to kiss this person? Why does it look like you are consuming their entire face? Now, is there a time and a place for tongue? Of course there is. Is it already out of your mouth as you begin the kiss? I think not. So, what else is being shoved down our throats? Tongues. And I just feel so horrible for these young women and men in their early 20s who have never learned how to kiss, don't know how, and never will learn how. Like, can one of the bombshells just look at these people and be like, ew, that was a terrible kiss? You don't know how to kiss? Oh my God. What is happening to our country?
Okay. You don't have friends who send you voice memos like that, you're missing out. And if you'd like me to add you to a group chat, I'll consider it. But anyways, if you're not on the Love Island trained, I get it. It's a big time commitment. It's every single night except for one night of the week. I think there are like some nights, it's either Saturday or Sunday, where it's like, it's called After Sun, and they're just kind of interviewing people. It's new, but it's not the content, you know. But for those of you who don't know, you're watching in real time. You get to vote on who couples up, and it's just a cultural, societal experiment. It's democracy at its best and worst, all wrapped into one. So 10 out of 10 recommend. I think it's going to be a great season. And even if it's not, it's helping me forget about the state of the world. So yeah, I think that's all I have for tonight. I'm not going to do a lesbian culture moment because I feel like it's just Pride Month and I have nothing. I have nothing other than, if you have homophobic friends that you're not calling out, then you're not really an ally. And that includes transphobia. You can't like choose what letters of LGBTQ you're cool with. I've had friends that I have literally blocked because they said very transphobic things to me. And it's really sad, but I just think it says so much about who you are if like only certain letters of the alphabet are okay. So I guess I did have a lesbian culture moment, although it's more like queer culture. And the something we don't talk about enough, probably just skinny culture again. I will probably be beating that dead horse all summer because it's so apparent in our media and on our screens. So I think that's probably it. Also, maybe one more thing, now that I'm thinking about it, of the something we don't talk about enough, is in today's economy, being real with your friends about your ability to spend. Like, I think, at least for millennials, we live in a time where it's like, yeah, I can go out to eat. Yeah, I can go on that trip. Yeah, I can do that, which is lovely. And sure, like, do people have credit cards? Can they make sacrifices? 100%. But in today's world and spending $80 to fill your gas tank, I also think it could be nice to not assume that our friends have a lot of money. Even if you know they have a great job, even if you know that like maybe they have a pretty house, but maybe saying something like, hey, would love to hang out with you, not sure what your vibes are, we could either go out for some oysters and wine, or you could come over to my house in sweats and we could order Domino's because I have a coupon. Also, do you say coupon or coupon? I kind of oscillate between the two, which is a story for another day. So yeah, I guess maybe I did have segments. I just really didn't prep because my brain is mush. I actually didn't realize today was Thursday. And tonight when my wife and I were pulling into Carrabba's, she said, wow, it's really popular for a Monday. Which just goes to show you where we're at. Okay. Okay. Anyways, I hope you guys have a great weekend. For those of you that have stuck with me and you're still listening, thank you so much. Bye.